Huh? Does that help anybody? Anybody want in on that? Well, I can't explain your problems, or you can't explain mine, until we know something called context. All right? Tragically, what we try to do is live our lives without understanding the context. And so we focus on the individual isolated events, and we get lost in those, and chaos usually results. Well, we need to establish some context for the three verses of Scripture we're going to look at today. Just three, all right? That context has to do with kingdoms. Kingdoms. Now, once upon a time in this world, there were a bunch of kingdoms. Kingdoms everywhere, all right? King this, queen that, kingdoms, monarchies. Today, not so much. We have some kingdoms in the Middle East, a few perhaps in sub-Saharan Africa. There's a ceremonial monarchy in England, but we just don't do kingdoms anymore. All right? We're going to set the context for these three verses with, well, actually, it's a question, okay? Did you know that even the lack of kingdoms in this world, that everyone in here belongs to a kingdom? You say, no, that's not true. We live in a republic based on democratic principles. Well, okay. But the big picture, the context, is that every one of us in here is a part of a kingdom. Now, this is context for where we're going in these three verses. There are only two kingdoms. There are only two kingdoms. And you and I are in one of these two kingdoms. The first kingdom is the kingdom of this world, ruled over by the prince of the power of the air. The kingdom of this world, ruled over by the prince of the power of the air. The truth is, every one of us was born into this kingdom. When you were born, when I was born, we were born into this kingdom. The ruler of this kingdom is Satan, Lucifer. Lucifer was his name as an angel, an archangel. The devil, all the same person. He's the ruler of the kingdom of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Now, what happened to him was, he made a decision as an archangel. He said, I will be like the Most High. In other words, I want God's place. I will be like the Most High. He even shared that with Eve in the garden. And he said, don't you want to be like God? You know, if you want to change it to read like that. You know, doesn't everybody want to be like God? Well, truth of the matter is, as members of this kingdom, we do. We want to be like God, i.e., calling the shots, making the decisions, especially for our lives. We don't want any interference. So we come by that nature honestly and naturally. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, has an agenda. Take over the kingdom of God. And he does that by taking life. Jesus said that he seeks to kill, steal, and to destroy life. He's the life taker. And so he brings destruction to the kingdom of the Prince of Peace, the ruler over the other kingdom. We'll get there in a minute. And the kingdom of the Prince of Peace is the rule and reign, his rule and reign, over the lives of people. So guess who is in the bullseye of the Prince of the Power of the Air? You. Me. If we are in the kingdom of the Prince of Peace. You still with me? All right. If you get in the weeds, raise your hand. We'll come get you. All right? Now, the prince of the power of the air wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be like the Most High. And so he's trying to extend his kingdom. He already has fallen angels, a third of all the angelic host. That's a big number. I don't know what it is. And then he decided to add to his kingdom, he would pick up fallen man. And so he appeared to Eve at first, and then Adam and Eve in the garden. And as a result of that, he increased his kingdom, his kingdom's population substantially, as he added fallen man to fallen angels. And in doing so, he's trying to destroy God's kingdom so that he would be like the Most High. He coveted that praise that God the Father received, that went through him to the Father when he was Lucifer, an exalted being. And so he's been trying to get the kingdom of God ever since, to destroy it. All right, that's one kingdom. Some of you in here are in that kingdom this morning. I've just described your kingdom. There's only two. And some of you in here today are in that kingdom. All of us were born into this kingdom. Some of you are still there. Second kingdom. The kingdom of God ruled over by the Prince of Peace. You see, since death and sin were introduced into the kingdom of God by the devil, by Satan in the garden, and since all people have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and since all of us are born with a sin nature inherited from that fall of man, the prince of the power of the air who caused that had to be defeated. And so the kingdom of God required that a new prince, if you will, the Prince of Peace, God in the flesh, that he come and that he die and that he pay the price for the sin debt that was owed, that he would atone for the sins of human beings in order to overcome the prince of the power of the air. And so now he has established a kingdom which is the rule and reign, his rule and reign over the lives of people. Death was checked when he came and died. Sin was atoned for. Evil, which is the antithesis of holiness, was defeated or was challenged. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the prince of the power of the air is the life taker, the life destroyer. The Prince of Peace is the life giver. In the context of sin and death, the Prince of Peace came. And as a result of that, the good news, you can switch kingdoms. Have you? Have you switched kingdoms yet? I like to say here, those who are yet to believe, I switched. Have you switched? You say, oh, you're no, this is a big deal. You're one of the two kingdoms. Every person in this room, every person out there, one of two kingdoms. Have you switched yet? Today, the battle for the souls of men and women still rages. Satan's kingdom, though terminal, is still formidable. Jesus himself recognized that. He knew the power of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He met him in the wilderness. He knows that he is formidable, but he also knows that he is terminal. So you see, it's a big deal to understand which kingdom you're affiliated with. Because the kingdom that you're affiliated with determines your reaction to Jesus. You either hate him or you love him. Now, that's the context for these three verses in John chapter 12. So turn over there with me to John 12, 9 through 11. That's the context. All right. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came. Now there, if you were with us last week, is the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary has anointed Jesus' body and will save some of the spikenard, the ointment, for his burial. And that has gone on. There's a feast given, and Jesus is there. And so when it says, when the large crowd of Jews, that's the Jews in mass, when they learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised, who Jesus had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Now remember the context we talked about just a few minutes ago. There's a captivating phrase in these three verses. It's a prepositional phrase. It's actually two prepositional phrases, I guess you could say. And it appears in the ESV as this, on account of him. Did you see that? On account of him, this prepositional phrase occurs twice, applied to two different people in these three verses. Now, if you have a King James version, yours reads something like, for Jesus' sake only, and then by reason of him. In the ESV, English Standard Version, that I study from, have for years, and many of you do, it's that on account of him. That's what caught my attention. A captivating phrase that is the foundation for what we're going to look at this morning in the context of that kingdom issue. So first, when the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came. Not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus. Now, the Jews. Who are we talking about there? If you were with us a couple of weeks ago and last week, the Jews are panicking. On account of Jesus, they're certain that they're going to lose their place and their nation. Now, specifically the Pharisees and the priest are convinced of that. So they do the natural thing that we all do. As little kids, we run to mama or daddy. Now we run to the principal of the school, or we run to the police, run to authority. And so they run to authority, which is the Sanhedrin, 70 big guys. Not physically, but power-wise. And the chief priest, who's kind of the president of that group. So they run to them and they say, listen, everybody's believing him, Jesus. And it's going to stir up this problem. The Romans are going to come and take our place and our nation. They're going to destroy what we have. We've got a good deal. We're a big deal. People come to us for advice. They come to us to tell them what the Scripture says. We get free meat down at the sacrifice place. Which they did, probably. We've got a good deal going here. We're somebody in the community. We're going to lose it because of this guy. You got to do something. So Caiaphas, speaking prophetically, but he didn't know he was, said, well, it's only fitting that one man die for the nation. That's the plan, Caiaphas. It's God's plan. It's not yours, but you saw it. You didn't know you saw it. So that's why they're seeking Jesus for selfish purposes, to destroy the one who was, they in their minds, going to destroy their lives. Folks, what are you doing today to preserve your place and your nation? We all have things that help us be significant, don't we? For some of you, it's a job. Well, I'm the director of, or the vice president of, you know, that. Okay? Right? Significance. For some of you, it's family. For some of you, it's cows. Pull your feet up, Chuck. Okay? Cars. Rotary Club. I don't know what it is. But we all have something that is our place and our nation. And you better not try to get it from us. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ, ruler of the kingdom, of the lives of men and women, is coming after whatever that is. Because you cannot have that kingdom, your place, and your nation, and be in His kingdom. Because He said, if any man or woman will come after Me, they must deny self, take up their cross daily, die to self, and follow Me. You can't keep this and get this. So they're seeking to kill Jesus because He's a threat to their status. They were inspired by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They were inspired by the very things that we deal with, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a battle. The kingdoms. And on account of Him, this isolated scenario in these three verses is being played out over and over again, and has been since the garden, actually. Today, it looks like the Islamic State, or ISIS, or Islam in general, or the LGBT movement, or Hollywood and the media, or the drug culture, or the guy across the street. It has all these different faces. It's just today's version of this everlasting attempt, for this time at least, for Satan to kill, steal, and destroy, to overthrow the kingdom of the Prince of Peace. It's just another version. Our version today. Because it's the same thing. What's this ISIS, Islamic State, that whole thing? What are they doing? Who are they killing? Christians. And they'd love to get their hands on a few Jews. Both covenant people of Jehovah God, ruler of the other kingdom. You see it? Do you see it? Just a few weeks ago, that where was that school? Kenya? In Kenya? They went in and they just interviewed these people and they said, are you a Christian or Muslim? They let the Muslims go. They killed 157 Christians. Huh. Interesting, huh? This LGBT movement, if you don't know what that is, ask your child, okay? They'll tell you. What's that all about? A group of people who are trying to overthrow God's institutions. That's all it is. Trying to overthrow the institution of marriage. One man, one woman, one lifetime. The family. God's idea. And so, what's this movement trying to do? I don't like that. I'm going to create family and marriage as I want. I will be like the Most High. Do you see the kingdom collision there? Context, folks. Context. That's what's going on in the world today. That explains everything that's going on. It's the context. These two kingdoms colliding. And the kingdom of this, the prince of the power of the air, seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. You see, anyone who threatens Jesus or comes against him, and if he is Lord of your life, they're going to come against you. They're not really, they don't hate you. They hate he who lives in you. Marvel not if the world hates you, Jesus said. It hated me first. That's why what's happening at work is happening at work. That's why that husband, that wife, who is not a believer, is acting and reacting the way they do. And everything else, you can consider the context of the kingdoms, on account of him. This same scenario is being played out globally and in our individual lives. So the Jews came, not to believe in Jesus. You see, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus came because they believed in Jesus. Okay? The Jews are coming not because they believed in Jesus, but to destroy him. That's a big deal. And these individuals, a part of the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air, we're doing exactly what the members of the prince of the power of the air are doing today. Kill, steal, and to destroy. All right. I said there were two times this phrase, this prepositional phrase was used. Here's the other one. Next verse. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death, Lazarus as well. Because, here it is, on account of him. I told you he's there twice. Different person, though. First time, it's referring the M as a capital H, him, Jesus. Now, this second time it's used, it's a little H, Lazarus. On account of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. On account of Lazarus, a bunch of folks were switching kingdoms. What had Lazarus done? All he did was die. Right? That's it. All he did was die. But when he died, the power of God was unleashed in him because he came back to life. Do you get it? Are you with me? When Lazarus died, it was then that the power of God could be released in him. And because the power of God was released in him, tidal waves of people sought Jesus, and they still do when any individual dies to self and follows Jesus Christ. Same thing happens. It's a kingdom principle. When you switch kingdoms, you have to deny, die, and follow to switch kingdoms. believe, repent, however you want to phrase it, same thing, then and only then will the power of God be released in your life. You say, I want the power of God in my life. Well, I just told you how. Die. That's all Lazarus did. And by the way, should we expect anything less than what Lazarus experienced when we die to self? Should we expect anything different? No. What did Lazarus experience after he died and was raised to life? They came to kill him also. You see? Should we expect anything any different than Lazarus experienced when we die to self and follow Jesus? The same enemy, kill, steal, and destroy, the same enemy that was trying to kill Lazarus through these Jewish people, leaders probably, is the same one that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy today. Scripture says very plainly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In legalese, and I'm not a lawyer, but some of you are, okay, I think. Any lawyers in here? No lawyers today. Man, I can rule now, can't I? Tammy, you're close. I know that, okay, so, all right. But you have language and legalese, okay? Shall, will, and in the matter, or something like that. Okay? That means there's discretion over here. When it says shall, done deal. When a law says shall, done deal. Alright? And this from Scripture says, for all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That explains the hatred, rejection, the marginalizing, even the physical attacks that are taking place in the lives of people in whom the power of God is unleashed. Okay, Dwayne? Chuck? All the rest of you? You see? Like the kids would say today, well, duh. Okay? We should not expect anything less than what Lazarus received when the power of God was unleashed in him, just like it's been unleashed in us who switch kingdoms. Now I want you to notice something here, okay? Lazarus did not run and hide. They're coming! They're trying to kill me! No. He reclines. It says so. Okay? He was at the table with Jesus. He didn't run and hide. He gave a party for Jesus. He's celebrating. Hey, he had been in the grave. All right? What are you going to do to me? Kill me? You know? Folks, I don't mean to make light of that, but that's kind of the way we ought to look at it. Give it your best shot. What are you going to do, kill me? That's how all those martyrs we talked about a few weeks ago. There's no record that they were screaming and hollering and all that kind of stuff. Most of them went to their death singing, celebrating. And those apostles there in Acts, they went away praising God that they were worthy to suffer for his sake. Lazarus gave a party. Mary and Martha along with him. Martha did the serving, of course. You know that. We knew, figured that out. He's not cowering in fear. He gave a party for Jesus in the midst of the people coming to his house seeking to kill him. He marched, rather reclined, right up to the gates of hell in the presence of Jesus. That's who was beside him. They didn't sit at a table like we do. They reclined as they ate. And right next to him is Jesus. And Lazarus was proclaiming, just by being there, "Come and see. I'm alive in him." And the Jews sought to kill him also. Let's conclude this morning, some things you can take away, okay? Follower of Jesus, if that's the kingdom you're a part of. Your ruler being the Prince of Peace, if you have switched kingdoms. If you're a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, this is what you can take away. The battle that you experience, wherever that is, in your home, in your bank account, at your job, I don't care where it is. The battle that is raging in your life today, the one you experience, or one like it, didn't start with you. These battles of similar fashion started long before you got here. All those who are in the kingdom of the Prince of Peace have always faced battles, trials, tribulations, etc. What did James say? Count it all joy when you face those trials. You see, it's on account of Jesus that the world hates you. Especially if these trials are related to people, and most of the time they do, directly or indirectly. It's on account of Jesus that the world hates you. They don't really hate you. They don't know that they don't hate you. But in that kingdom context, they hate he who is in you. If the world... Now, we need to probably ought to have a commercial here because we're coming back. Okay, I want you to come back with me, okay? Don't just get in a zone. Hang with me, okay? If the world does not hate you, it's because your life is like theirs. And they see you as them. Thus, you're not a threat. Who you are comfortable with is whose you are. Now, be an old cow this afternoon. Lay down under a shade tree and regurgitate that and chew on it, okay? That got your attention. The animal thing, Kelly, always goes, doesn't it, huh? Ruminate on that this afternoon. Who you are comfortable with is whose you are. Now that hurts me, okay? If you can go into the kingdom of this world and feel comfortable and at ease, whose are you? And I ask myself the same question. Another thing, take home with you. The best place you can be and remain is dining with Jesus. That's the best place you can be. Just like Lazarus was, he wasn't running for the door. He wasn't out signing autographs that had him back from the grave. He's in the presence of Jesus. He's in the presence of Jesus with others who are of like mind. His sisters, Mary and Martha. And apparently others as well. And all of them together are preparing for Jesus leaving. Jesus is leaving in just a few days. Now, they really didn't know that, even though Jesus had just told them that. Leave her alone. She's preparing my body for burial. So what this group of people are doing, they're in the presence of Jesus preparing for his leaving. Listen, believers, we need to be in his presence together preparing for his coming. Does that bother you? And I know a lot of young faces around here. Estelle and I visited just a little bit before the service this morning. And we were just kind of, our minds came together. We wanted to go home, didn't we, Estelle? You know what? Estelle's lived a couple years more than I have. Folks, I've seen the elephant. He's not much. If this is all there is, but it's not. It's not. And the longer you live in this, the more you desire that if you're a part of the kingdom of the Prince of Peace. And so these people are in the presence of Jesus with others who are in the presence of Jesus, and they're getting ready for his leaving. But we're gathered here this morning because many of us have believed, and we're in the kingdom of the Prince of Peace, preparing for his coming. Does that bother you? Oh, I pray not. Scripture closes in Revelation, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." You hang out with Jesus, be in his presence, and others who love him, and the world is going to hate you. It's just going to happen. All right? So don't get bummed out about it. But be with Jesus, and on account of him, like Lazarus, many will go away believing in Jesus also. People are not going to be attracted to Jesus unless they see Jesus in us. That sounds like something we learned in Sunday school a long time ago, doesn't it? We sang little songs about that. It's true. Lazarus died twice. Only a dad could recognize the crying voice. Isn't that neat? Huh? Think about that. That'll preach too, Kelly. Yeah. One dad heard one cry, and he went to it. The rest of you dads didn't get up and go. Huh? Right? Hey, when your father hears your voice, he gets up and comes to you as well. You see, this is a good deal. This is a good deal. Lazarus died twice. Both were physical deaths. Every person born is destined to die twice also. Now, Lazarus died two physical deaths, but every person born is destined to die physically and one spiritually. The good news is this. You can, by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, only die once physically, never spiritually. And it's very possible, if these are the days I believe they are, we won't even die once, because he's coming in the air. On account of him. On account of him. Let's pray. Lord, we often forget the context of your creation. We get caught up in the nuances of life and we panic. We complain. We get depressed and despondent over isolated events and happenings. And Father, little do we realize that those times when we're having those pity parties, that this is probably just the collision of two kingdoms. Lord, I pray that today we would understand that on account of Him, Jesus, persecution is going to be our lot. We're not going to be accepted by the world. We're going to be made fun of, ridiculed, maybe physically tortured. Many are around the world on account of Him. But also on account of Him, and what you did in our lives, Lord Jesus, we have a vivid hope of eternity with you in your heaven. Maybe death will come to our lives, but only physical death. Because one day, even though we die and are buried, the dead in Christ will rise first, you promise. And you promise that you are going away to prepare, I like it, a mansion. And that if you go away, you'll come again and receive us, those who are part of your kingdom, unto yourself. So, Father, if we have switched kingdoms, then I pray that we'll live like kingdom citizens. Father, if there are those in this room who have not switched kingdoms, oh Lord, call unto them as only you can to do so. Father, to be a part of the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air means dying twice. And that last one is something horrible. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this picture and this little scenario today that I learned so much from this week. A little phrase, on account of Him. Thank you. In Jesus' name.